Hi, how's business?
How's business?
How's business? Welcome to How's Business, a podcast on what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, created by the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you're listening to this podcast because you love the small business owner that I'm about to feature, I want you to know that we chat with lovable small business owners every week. You can get this podcast sent directly to your phone by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. Today on How's Business, we're welcoming Leah Bindig of Aislinn's Pup Hub. Aislinn has locations in Ukrainian Village, Noble Square, and Bucktown. All right. So as I mentioned, the IJ Clinic is celebrating its 20th anniversary. And as a part of that anniversary, we want to get to know Chicago's entrepreneurs and hear more about what's going well and what could be going better. So I want to start with the basics. If you could tell me your name and the name of your business.
Yeah. Hi. My name is Leah Bindig. I'm the owner of Aislinn Pup Hub. I have three locations. My first is in Ukrainian Village. Second is in Noble Square, and my third's in Bucktown.
Can you tell me more about Aislinn's, like, what do your operations look like?
Yeah, so my first store that I started in 2016, which is my smallest location, is my pet retail store, which is at 1812 West Chicago Avenue. And we sell pet retail, like pet food, treats, toys, supplements, vitamins, anything you would need to buy for your pet. My second location I started a year later in July of 2017, and that's a dog daycare, light grooming services. We were originally going to do boarding, but decided not to do it at that location. And then my third location, I opened about 10 months after that, and that location is in Bucktown, and that's a full service facility. So we do daycare, overnight boarding. We have a very small retail, just accessible to our customers. And then I'm moving my first location a couple doors down in about 3 to 4 months to a larger facility. It'll be our largest facility yet. So I'm moving it from a 1200 square foot space to a 6200 square foot space.
Oh, wow.
And that'll be a full service facility. It'll probably even include like self-wash tubs. I'm gonna try to create more of a new differentiated shopping experience for retail customers. Because if you think about, like, nowadays, so many people shop online, especially with things like Chewy.com or PetSmart or, you know, stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, for my business in particular, what keeps someone coming in, you know, aside from the services portion of it, but for retail. So we've got a few ideas up my sleeve, you know, to create a differentiated experience for customers. My love as an entrepreneur is creating an experience for customers. And you don't get the benefits of seeing the experience that they have if you're creating an app, right? So I love brick and mortar businesses because I love to see like the smiles on people's faces when they know that they can trust us with their dogs, or when they come in and they tell us, oh, that food you recommended totally changed my dog's diet and has improved health. Like, I love that, right? But also I know that if you utilize technology, you can improve that in-person experience, or even when that customer that's typically in front of you is away from you, right? And so we'll be launching some things in 2020 via e-commerce and delivery to start incorporating technology with our current customer base and any customers that come on moving forward.
When you were first setting out to start this business, what is it that made you think this is how I want to devote my time and this is what I want to add to the neighborhood?
Yeah, so it's funny because I graduated business school in the recession, couldn't get a job like a lot of people. Most people were losing their jobs or couldn't find one. Spent a couple years just doing random work to pay the bills. And one day I saw a for rent sign on my first location. And so I started to think, well, I go and buy my pet supplies in the West Loop. So where is there a place around here, especially in walking distance? So then I started doing research on foot. I started walking around. I started looking, you know, Google Maps and Google to see if there's pet supply store. And I'm like, I have a small loan that I could utilize and I have a ton of credit card availability. So let me see if I can do this, you know? So after researching the neighborhood really well and knowing like the demographic base and in this area, seeing a ton of dogs, people walking their dogs, I thought this area needs something where you can walk to locally to get just regular pet supplies for your dogs and cats.
And what does it mean to you to be doing your own thing? I know you probably, when you went to business school, imagined that you might work in a different circumstance.
I mean, you know, people have asked me this, especially recently. They've said, well, did you always know you wanted to own your own business? And honestly, I definitely can say yes. I didn't know what I wanted to own, but I was reading business books when I was 14 and 15 years of age. I knew I wanted to be something that was in some sort of leadership position because I always would have like ideas and I was selling stuff on the side of the road. I created pillows out of skirts that I didn't like anymore and stuffed them with cotton balls and was selling them on the side of the road, trying to flag people down to like create a little business, right? And had dreams of having my own like clothing company and like, you know, just things like that. And then you grow up and you go the route of going to college and graduating and then getting in the routine of working a day-to-day job. And even though maybe you have aspirations, you're like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? How in the world would I leave a job and afford to even open my own business, right? So I would say the fact that I own my own business now is 90% a result of the recession, because it kind of pushed me in the direction of learning what it's like to live super frugally. And so I said, if I know how to live like that, that's what it takes to open your own business, right? Because you have to sacrifice. But where the heck am I going to get the money from, right? I definitely could not say 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago that I would have known that I would have owned a dog daycare pet retail store. But I'm so happy I do.
Now that you've built this thing, what is it like to maintain a business in Chicago?
So if you're looking at it from a day to day and you're not involving anything that is required for upkeep of any sort of regulatory things, it's already hard enough, right? You know, because you've got payroll, you've got training employees, you've got HR, all those internal things that you already have to like laser focus on, and with such precision that if you don't, you lose the best people. And if you lose the best people, the quality of service goes down. If the quality of service goes down, then we all know what happens, right? The business decreases. And so there's already all that, okay? So if you take all the day-to-day ongoings of what it means to keep up a brick and mortar business, it's operationally heavy already. And then if you throw in little things like the bag tax that you have to like file it every month, you know, online, it's pretty easy, but like just when you're first applying, there's this like 8 or 10 page application to sign your business up. It's just such tedious work that eventually when you have enough tedious things that are back to back to back, those tedious things take hours a month to do.
Are there specific licenses that you had to get to be a doggy daycare or a retailer?
Well, for retail, you only have to get a resale license, and that's every 2 years. For the daycare and boarding, you get inspected initially when you're first opening. The city inspects you, and then the state inspects you if you're doing overnight boarding.
So in your three locations, I want to hear more about what it's been like to have any sort of interaction that you've had with city government related to those locations.
Mm-hmm. I actually love going down to the BACP, which stands for Business Association for Consumer Protection. And it feels like you're honestly going into, I don't know, it's high end for a city government organization. They really have it together down there. You go in, you take a number. Every person I've ever interacted with are super friendly. When I go down there, you see familiar people and they always know you and remember you. And it's just like so pleasant to go down there. And it's also even been really helpful, especially when I was opening my first location. I didn't know what I was doing at all. Like what was required, what I needed to do, who I needed to talk to. I mean, it can take so much time from someone that's a new business owner from not knowing the steps that you need to take, right? Or it could take a lot of money. When I was initially looking to get a special use permit for my location that I'm going to be moving into in a couple months, the zoning on that location is not zoned for overnight boarding. I could have done retail, that's fine, right? I could have done grooming, that would be fine, which is odd because if I can do any kind of use for dogs like grooming, why wouldn't I be able to do overnight boarding? And so I went the route of researching what I had to do to get a special use permit and then looking at the packet of paperwork. I started my research, I got a referral for a business attorney, then learned it was looked upon very favorably if you had the approval of an alderman. We're in the first ward, and if Joe Moreno was the alderman at the time, and then the alderman after that that came in was Laspaca, I think that's how you say his name. And so I initially got approval from Alderman Moreno's office, but then the switch came and we weren't on for city council to be heard until the changeover of aldermen. And it's funny because I was here at Westtown Bakery and actually ran into the incoming alderman and introduced myself and said that I was going to be sending him an email through the local neighborhood committee, which is the East Village Association, because they gave me approval. They said that they would love for me to expand my business and that they saw no problem with the use. So then when he was looped in on the email, he had been familiar. I said, oh, do you remember I met you a couple of weeks ago, you know, at Westtown Bakery? So any alderman that I've ever interacted with have always been very friendly and helpful. You know, going back to the special use permit, if you don't have an attorney or you're brand new business and you can't afford an attorney, then you've got to do all the footwork yourself. Well, how do you know you're taking the right steps, you know? So if you want to break it down, it almost cost me $12,000. So that $12,000 includes the application fee, which is $1,025, just to put the application in at all. Then if you don't want to chase your tail while you're trying to figure out how to fill out all this paperwork that doesn't make any sense to you because you don't really know the legalistics of it. If you want a lawyer to take all those steps and pre-fill everything out and send it to your landlord to get approval and get economic disclosures and stuff, The attorney cost me almost $7,000. So part of the application process is getting an expert witness that it's their job to basically evaluate the neighborhood and see if your use is appropriate for the neighborhood, if it would be a value add or if it would disturb the neighborhood. And then they come to the hearing when you're before city council for the special use permit. They come to the hearing and basically say a couple sentences. But they have filled the report out prior and they do submit it with the application. And I had gotten three quotes, and the lowest quote, which was half of what the second quote was $2,200. For an expert witness that you have to have. It was a requirement. I couldn't avoid not getting one. And the cheapest was $2,200. So now we're up to a little over, $10,000. I think the final bill from my attorney put it just under $12,000.
During that process, what was your level of certainty about getting a license?
I didn't know. Because you don't know what would permit them to not approve you. The attorney, he did shed light. He said, you know, it doesn't make sense why you wouldn't get approved. This isn't like you're trying to open something that's controversial. But there was no level of certainty at all. If I didn't get the special use permit, I wouldn't open that location with just retail. It wouldn't make sense. It's not a good move for me. It's too expensive. I wouldn't be able to stay in business if it was just retail. So I took a risk and, you know, prayed, crossed my fingers.
So on that note, if you had any piece of advice for Chicago's government about maintaining its business friendliness or being a more business friendly city, what would that piece of advice be?
I would say I think they need to revisit something like the special use permit list, like what industries are on it, and also see what the contradictions are. You know, how can someone have a business that does dog grooming but not overnight boarding, right? So it's in the same industry. It's a service that's provided for the pets, but you have to get a special use for the overnight boarding, but not the grooming. So revisiting something like that, where it's more common sense, something like a retail license, I shouldn't have to get that every 2 years and spend $275. And a lot of the organizations in government in general can take a big lesson from BACP in their organizational levels as far as friendliness goes and ability to help and just kind of like the morale they have down there. The fees that they have are outrageous. I mean, just the fee alone for applying for a special use permit, $1,025. I mean, that's a lot of money. So I think there should be leeway with those fees. I think there should be the ability to somehow sign a letter of credit, right? That would make it easier for someone that's just starting out. That would make it easier for someone that's even in business and maybe needs to space out the actual payment of that, you know? I think there should be options for someone who doesn't have the ability to get an attorney to be guided by someone how to do the special use permit, because that can be daunting. And I think of this daily, weekly, when I'm doing my budget, when I'm processing payroll. Like in a year from now, I'm gonna probably have double the staff. If you're gonna show an employee that you value them beyond just words, it's in the form of a raise, right? And a raise is not just a dollar. For every dollar I give an employee a raise, it costs me 124%. So I look at that, plus I do health, dental, and vision for all my employees, right? So that's an extra almost $2 an hour. So if I'm paying an employee $13 an hour, that $13 an hour is going to cost me more like $17 to $18 an hour. If I am a brand new location where I'm not working my day-to-day business, let's say, or I am and I can't even afford to pay myself a salary, there is no way I can afford to have employees with increased expenses like that, right? And then on top of it, if I want to go above and beyond and give raises and pay $14, $15, $16, $17, $18, $19 an hour, do health insurance, do life insurance, dental, vision, all those extras, it is extremely expensive to provide health insurance, but I do it. And I'm wanting to start 401ks in 2020. I can't do that if I'm continually getting hit with regulations, increased expenses. There's only so much a company could take as far as the bottom line goes.
So if you could describe what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago with just one word, what would that one word be?
Conflicting. I have a very conflicted feeling even when you ask me that question, because just like I noted earlier, there's great things that the city's doing in things like the way that they have the BACP organized. Whoever's running it or whoever's in charge of that or leading that is doing an awesome and amazing job. But then there's the other portion of the things like the taxes and the regulations and all the paperwork that comes along with it and the special use permit fees and the fact that I have to get a retail license every 2 years. It's kind of like, come on, Chicago. So it's like there's this conflict because I love the city of Chicago. It's why I've opened so many businesses. Specifically, I love my neighborhood. That's why I have 2 businesses on one street, soon to be 3, soon to be 4, actually. And I love reinvesting back into the community. A lot of my products that I sell in my retail store are actually locally made. So there's this conflict. Like, I love what you do sometimes, Chicago, and I really, really do not like what you do sometimes, Chicago.
Let's remind listeners just one more time, if they want to visit either your retail or bring their pets by for a scrub, where can they find you?
Aislinn Pup Hub is the name of my store, and the first location, which is our pet retail, is at 1812 West Chicago Avenue in Ukrainian Village. And the second location is just 4 blocks east of there at 1448 West Chicago Avenue. And that Aislinn Pup Hub is located in Noble Square. You can get a bath for your dog there as well. We don't do full cutting grooming yet, but the new location that I'm going to be opening, which is 1802 West Chicago Avenue, soon to be open probably around March or April of 2020, it'll be a full service facility. And then we have one location in Bucktown. So Aislinn Pup Hub Bucktown, that location is a full service facility, daycare, overnight boarding, and that's located at 1904 North Milwaukee.
Before we wrap up, is there anything that's important for you to share about your business or about what it's like to do business in Chicago?
I love business. I love how it can add to the local economy. I love how it can add to the local community. When a customer comes in and they buy their dog food from us from the last 3 years and they love us because we spend time with them, getting to know their dog, like that's so fulfilling. I love that.
Since 1998, the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship has provided free legal assistance, support, and advocacy for low-income entrepreneurs in Chicago. The IJ Clinic also trains University of Chicago law students to be vigorous and creative advocates for entrepreneurs. For more information, visit www.housebusinessshy.com.